Otto, are you there?
Hi, Colin. Yes, we're here again.
Okay.
We're
now,
just in the sequel of what we were talking about, the essence of cultural conflict and the relationship to bodily healing.
Right. Now, for this, so I've started recording again, but we probably don't have much time here because it's getting quite late over on my end.
Okay.
And so...
how much time do we have? Do we round it off or do we add a bit more?
Well, I don't know. I don't mind. We can round it off, but maybe we have 15, 20 minutes?
I have an hour, so we can easily do
that. Oh, you have an hour?
Yeah.
Okay. No. Okay, great. That'll be too much for me, but...
Okay, so, yeah, so you determine the timeline, and then let's see what else you would like to bring
up then,
for now.
Okay. Well, it's 12:22. I can probably go to 12:45 tonight.
Good.
Which is be 9:45 your time, and then we can just pick it up. On our next conversation.
Exactly. So, Colin, where we are now. You're exploring cultural conflict and the realization that cultural conflict needs to be resolved within us, because whatever happens as a conflict in culture is just a conflict between people, which then will always originate within people. But the conflict actually is then in the way they interact with their environment on basis of how they interpret themselves in their environment. So that the foundation of the resolution of cultural conflict is in that relationship of the individual in humanity and in the universe.
That's totally true, but then also the human being doesn't react any, like you said about let me restate this. Humanity is always reacting to the past as well, and so they're actually cultural conflict is also largely the result of people acting on the modeling that is essentially stored in the mind body, and they are still reacting to that old situation. Correct?
Exactly. Perhaps it might help if I add a bit of the exploration that I needed to do to understand diseases. So we now know that the healing of diseases and the resolving of cultural conflicts is exactly the same process. It just looks differently because it takes place in a different environment, but the principles themselves are the same. And so when I was looking at the resolution of diseases, I realized that, first of all, the diseases of the body, in the way doctors look at them, are rearrangements of the anatomy. And I understood that whatever is going wrong, so to say, in the physical body is because there was something that has changed at the level of the physiology. So the organs were not no longer processing information in the same manner or in the same rhythm or to the same extent. So something accumulated or something got hollowed out. And that's the work of Bert Verveen, a Dutch physiologist, who actually pointed out that the anatomy is a result of the physiology, and that the physiology is the basis of disease. And I then understood that it's not only the basis of our health in the body, but that the physiology is the equivalent of the psychology, because the molecules that we use for creating a body also have the information on which our psyche works or is based. And if you look at it outside of us, then you can see that the counterpart of the psychology is the sociology, so that sociology and psychology are exactly the same, but the inside and the outside versions of it. And in the same way, the counterpart of the physiology is the ecology, so that all the principles of health and disease which Bert Verveen described at the level of the physiology also apply to the psychology, the sociology, the ecology. But then I realized that we need to look at a deeper level, because where Bert Verveen looked at the metabolic cycles that link up all the organs and all the cells in the organs, Hans Schley or Hans Selye, as he's often called, was looking at what happens within the cells. And he realized that the cells within them were able to shift the boundaries. And specifically, he was looking at inflammatory and anti-inflammatory molecules. But basically, you can see that cells will produce molecules which will solidify or liquefy the body, which the alchemist called coagulo de soluo. So they actually, and there's the two forms of diseases. The sclerotic diseases of things drying out and going lifeless, and the inflammatory diseases where things dissolve and basically fall apart. So he was looking at the molecules which create the inflammation and the opposite, the anti-inflammation. And then you can see that at the level of the molecules, there is this whole regulatory system which makes use of electromagnetic fields, as pointed out by Bjorn Nordenstrom and many others, and that those electromagnetic fields inform the cells of what they will produce, and by what they produce, they will solidify and liquefy the body. So whenever there is a disease in the physiology, something goes too solid or something goes too liquid, so to say, something's too much or too little, or too fast or too slow, it always originates at what happens in the cells. So in the cells is where the regulation of the relationship between the part and the whole takes place. And all the cells do that. So the regulatory system of the body, which is also the immune system, the learning system, the intelligence of the body, is everywhere in every cell. But in order to understand how these cells are able to regulate, if they increase the atomic reactions or decrease them, so to say, then you can see that that is based on the information that they work with. So at that level, the cells are like CPUs, little computer processor units, in a large network of computers, and they use, say, telephony and mail, the neurons and the hormones, to communicate between them. But the neuronal system and the hormonal system are basically currents and fields of electromagnetic information. And that corresponds to, the currents correspond to the meridian system of the Chinese, and the fields correspond with the homeopathic information remedies. So the cells, they work with these flows and fields of information, just like Bjorn Nordenstrom described, and he called it the ergonars and the infonars. There's the information field and there's the activation field. But the cells respond to that. So much more important than the cells and what they do is that they respond to that information field. So the basis of it all is that information field which surrounds the cells and which precedes the cells, which underlies the cells, and which connects all the cells. So in that sense, it is the information field which tells the cells what to do, how to relate, how they connect up or disconnect, and thus how the body is formed. And so for the healing, I realized that I should shift my attention from the anatomy, where I was trained as a doctor to look at things. And I realized that whatever I see at the level of the anatomy is only the symptom. I need to go to the level of the physiology to see the process and the disturbance of the process. But I need to look into the cells to see why the regulation had changed. What is the information that the cells are working with? Why are they looking at something differently than they did before? And that is precisely the point that you're pointing out, that these conflicts are that the cells suddenly start to do something else, but it no longer computes with what's going on around them. Instead of being in harmony, they create a conflict. And that is because the information they are responding to is not the information of the universe, but the information of a part of the universe or or something outside of them or something in the past within them. And that is what I then needed to shift my perspective entirely, because I realized that I had to do the same as in the transition from classical science to relativistic science for the molecules to the quantum science of the atoms into the field theory of the information fields. I needed to understand what happens in the body at that level of the information field. And I realized that the descriptions thereof are lacking. And that is where I started to create the science mm-hmm. of life, with the realization that mm-hmm. everything in the universe is based on the quantum flip. And everything that mm-hmm. is described in science is the result of quantum flips, creating atoms, creating molecules, creating materials. But what I was looking at was the change of the information caused by the quantum flip. And then suddenly you're relating to freedom of mm-hmm. choice. You're relating to free will, to mm-hmm. free association, dissociation. Basically that is where you then see that our body as a whole is a supercomputer in which we process freedom of choice. On that basis, we take decisions, we create decisions, just as the cells do. And then we pursue those decisions as a line of thought, which we call a belief or a conviction. So we become convict of our convictions, which is what happens at the organ level. And then we act on them, which happens at the cell and the physical level. And so I was able to bridge everything we know about the physical to everything we know at the level of consciousness. And so what I'm working on now is the relationship between freedom of choice in the head and then free will in the heart, free expression in the gut, in the hara, and freedom of association or dissociation in the holy bone, the sacrum. And those are four parts in our body which actually relate to those four dimensions of involvement.
Beautiful.
So if you look at it the other way around, the sacrum or the holy bone is where, in a way, you have a cell alone in the bone. So it is a cell on the one side and the universe on the other side. And then in the gut, when you look at the gut, it's actually a vegetative system. It is a plant. And so you see that at the vegetative level, we are dealing with a plant system which connects one reality with another. It's an interface, a conduit, a waveguide between them.
Right.
And so that is where we transform, where we actually operate the singularity between the part and the whole. That is where the food starts to form our body, or where the body starts to produce the manure for the rest of the planet. When you go up in the body one level, you go into the level of the heart, you're actually dealing with not just the heart, but all of the organs which surround that tree of life of the gut system. And the organ system is like the inbuilt seasonal circulation. That is where we can take information into the body, store it, transform it, and eliminate it or burn it. Use the information of it. So the organ system is a separate system of an internal, planetary circuit. Actually, the organs and the gods of the Greeks are exactly the same. So the astrology and the organs is exactly the same as well. They connect to musical notes. So the organic system is what we find in the heart, which is where we can interface with the environment and regulate what we take in and what we take out. So in the gut system we take in and we take out, but in the heart system we can regulate it. And then on top of that system, which is also the animal system, we then have the head, which is the information system, which is like a periscope, which is where we can have information of the environment, which is taken into account so that that heart system can optimize what it is doing, while that heart system is already optimizing what the gut system is doing, while the gut system is already optimizing what the cell systems are doing. And so there are these four levels of functioning, which system theory describes in detail, which are the relationship between the state, the process, the transformation, and the integration. And so there you have the relationship between the state is then identified with the grail or the holy bone or the sacrum, and the processing is associated with the gut or the hara, and the transformation is associated with the heart, and the integration is associated with the head. And again, those are the four dimensions. So in the physical of the cells, we are working with the three-dimensional. In the vegetative system of the hara, we are working with the transition from one side of the boundary to the other, which is two-dimensional. And when we look at the heart, which is that circulation of the organ system, it is actually about the regulation of that transition through the boundary, the singularity itself, which is one-dimensional. And when we look into the head, we look at the information process itself, and that is zero-dimensional. And these conflicts, which we are talking about essentially, result from looking from the wrong level. So if you take the information of your cells as the measure of what happens in the universe, that only works if the cell is actually sensing the universe. And if you look at what the vegetative system is doing, then do not confuse that with what the animal system is doing. And that is where you then connect up to what you already said. That's where the past comes in, when the memory comes in, when the reflexes come in. So that's something which I described separately. Mm-hmm. And that's the relation between the consciousness of the decisions that we take, the unconscious level of the decisions that we have taken, the subconscious level. The unconscious level is where we act on those decisions, actually believe them and pretend that they are real, our convictions. Mm-hmm. And then out of conscious is what happens at the reflex level. So yes, indeed, it is so fundamental to understand that we work with these, say, solidifications of information in our body, that we experience things and then we reflect upon them, and then we create an opinion about it, and then we act on that opinion. But those are four different dimensions, and at each of these levels something can go wrong. And the conflicts in society and within us, because the conflicts within society are the conflicts within us, they can come from that reflex level. And so one of the things I've been working on in the last year is the repair of reflexes. And essentially it is about how reflexes are out of consciousness. And this is a very specific reason for that, because reflexes are autonomic. They go, say, 10,000 times as fast as we can think. It's immediately cell response to something that we ever did in the past. It's just repeated, replicated. So if you want to fix that reflex, you need to find the conviction that it was based on. And the convictions are our belief systems, the emotional states, the emotional soups that keep on gurgling. It's like the regurgitative experiences of the past. In the cow, we can see that they all regurgitate. But in us, we regurgitate the past as well. So our emotions are connected to that. But they're also connected to that level of convictions, beliefs. So that's also why people, when they are affected in their beliefs, they will respond emotionally, because it's the same soup.
Right.
But if you want to resolve that, you shouldn't do that at that level. You must go from where that current comes from. That's and right. Actually, the emotion is a circular current caught in the system and a bit out of place. But you need to go to the decision that caused it. What was the obstacle? What was the decision that caused that circulation of that current in the body? So you need to go back to that level of the decision taking and actually replace that by a new decision. So you go back to freedom of choice.
Okay, so then that's a little bit more than that's good, because then that's not just a project of NLP. That's a deeper project of going and finding that circular emotional energy, finding the conviction, the belief, finding the original decisions, and going back to those and using your free will to override those with new thoughts, actions, feeling states that directly are intended to go into that original program and override it.
Exactly. So it is as if a disease is like a vibration, a shaking, a quaking of the body, like the quaking of wars and famine and starvation and disease in humanity. So that the rattling shows that there is a circulation of an emotion gurgling around in the system. at the unconscious level. And then you have to go to the eye of the cyclone, the turning point, the pivot of that all, which was the decision by which all these things were put in motion. And then you need to basically go against what you hold to be true, or what your ego or your reflex hold to be true. You need to do the opposite.
Right.
And then you turn it around, and then suddenly you discover that there is another part of the story.
Right.
And so I wrote a text about the origination of diseases. And basically it's that with the body, we bump into the environment in a way. So the vibrational field of the environment doesn't compute anymore. So we need to reorient. So we need to reposition ourselves. Sometimes we create an overlap, a confusion. And sometimes we withdraw. We create an abstraction, a distraction, pulling away. And in both cases, whatever we do no longer commutes, no longer integrates with the rest of the universe. So we lost integrity, we lost health.
That's right.
And then, as a result, it can be that a local part, say just one sensory cell, gets knocked out. Mm-hmm. Or it can be that a neuron gets knocked out. Mm-hmm. Or it can be that a plexus get knocked out in the way I described that before. So in a way, a local part or a segment or a whole region of the body suddenly get disconnected. And that actually is what you have as the diseases. And so you have that in the body, but you also have that in the mind, and you have this in society, and you have that in the ecology. So right. Then you can go back to the origin, and whenever you see such a quake zone or a tremor or something that doesn't work, then you can go back to what are the emotions which are spiraling around there. What is the turning point of the decision behind it? Why don't I change that?
Okay, and now, so are you suggesting then if I start in the psyche and I say, okay, I have a conflict in the mind, an unresolved cyclical conflict or disease in the mind, and I go out one hole on, I should find a correspondence in the society, and if I go back in one hole on, I should find a correspondence in the physical body. So in other words, if I have a mental disease, it should show up in the physical structure of the body, shouldn't it?
Exactly. And that's the foundation of integral healthcare. So in integral healthcare, whenever you look at the physical body and the problems it has, you can use the Western medicine, which is a somatic medicine which looks at the body. Mm-hmm. When you want to see why the physical anatomy has a problem, you need to look into the physiology. And that's where you can then make use of the Ayurveda or the naturopathy, which is the medicine of the physiology of the body. Mm-hmm. But if you want to understand why that was deranged, you need to go back into the regulatory system, which is addressed by the Far East in the meridian system and the homeopathy. It is the information that the cells work with, and the qi and the shen, that is the flows and the fields of information. And then if you want to know why that was unsettled, you need to go to the far west, to the spiritual or shamanic forms of healing, and that is always at the level of reality realization and identity identification. So that is where you then restore the integrity of identity, not only of the individual, but also of the universe. And that is what you see that happens in the brain around the pineal gland, that basically it is a relationship between the world image and the self image. And the world image is in the front, the cortex, the surface information of the body. And the self image is the rear of the brain and the spinal cord and what happens within the body. So at that level, we compute or correlate or integrate the outside versus the inside. And as we said before, that determines how we interface on the interface. And that is where we can then restore the integrity of the part into the whole.
Yeah, at that juncture.
Yeah.
Okay, so
this is where your timeline starts to end.
Yeah, this is beautiful. So why don't we, here's what I was thinking, we could we could end this one now, and I could leave you with two things. One thing that Melissa gave me, handed to me, and another thing that she might have a second thing there, and another thing that came to me, and I could maybe leave you with these ideas, and then when we pick up next time, we could address what we need to address, and then we could also maybe address these ideas as well.
Absolutely. For me, in the way we have been doing this now, mm-hmm. works perfectly well. You present an idea, okay. and you pick up focus points, okay. because in a way it helps me immensely, because what I discovered basically encompasses everything,
right.
But it's like trying to get the universe through a needle hole.
yeah, no, I understand.
and so your questions are actually really helpful for me to unfold how it all connects.
Yeah,
and for the listeners too, it's evidently that's always the same pattern. Mm-hmm. Basically, you can only listen to it as if it is a fairy tale, because the connections are not in the words, but in the understanding behind it.
Yes.
And, so by your questions and by the way you lead the conversation, it is immensely helpful, because all of the things that I see connecting, I can describe and talk about. And
right.
as a result, they're accessible to other people too.
Right. It helps put it into practice. Okay, so here's the... Okay, first, let me just talk to Melissa, because she's talking to me from the corner of the room, and
so,
I can never understand what she's saying.
You kind of answered it in the last part of how you put all together. Hi, I've been listening the whole time, really letting it sink in. My thought was about 15 minutes ago, is how do you go into the DNA itself and reprogram
right.
this? And but you actually answered it in that last part.
Well, let me just make one tiny comment to that. And is that, and I would just let's leave this for next time. But let's we talked a little bit earlier about the locus of the decision maker, the ego conscious I. That has to now make a decision at the conscious state to go where it needs to go. So Melissa had an intuition a long time ago that if she was going to heal herself, she was going to have to go into the DNA itself, maybe after reading that book by The Mind of the Cell. And so how does the conscious ego navigate these domains with free will?
And yeah. then let me just briefly describe that, and then
okay.
we can elaborate on that next time. The
okay.
essence is that we can only fix the interface in the interfacing. You can never fix it from your side of the equation, so to say. You need to move into the equator. You need to go to the interface and realize that you're only mirroring what's going on out there and the other way around. So that you need to go into the interface and see that whatever you see has the opposite, and whatever you think good has an evil, and whatever you think is evil also is a good. So you need to see that the two parts of the equation are the both sides of the interface. So instead of having your perspective on your side of the interface, you need to see that there is an opposite view on the other side of the interface. And that leads you then to the realization that if there is an opposite view to the one that you hold, which is essentially the basis of conflict resolution, then you can see that there must be another point of view where the two opposites combine and connect. And that's where you then move into the interface. Let me just follow this through. Because once you're in the interface, mm-hmm. you need to realize that what you're seeing in the interface is not just happening in the interface, but it can only work if it works in the universe as a whole. The locus of control is not within yourself. You cannot change the universe within yourself. You cannot even change you within yourself. But you need to realize that the change happens in the interface, that's in the interfacing. You need to realize then that the interfacing needs to be in balance. And that's where the... let me go one step back. So when you look at your own thing, it is like you're looking at the body level. When you look at the interfacing, you're looking at the level of the physiology. When you realize that the interface must be in balance, That's where you're then dealing with the meridian system and the regulatory system of the body. But you need to go one level deeper and perceive that there can only be a balance between you and the environment if there is a balance between your interface and the universe, which is at the spiritual level. So the information that you need to work with is must be the information of everything and not just your interpretation of it or part of the interpretation of it. So there's always four levels, and in that sense, it is like there's a gearbox with four gears, these four dimensions, and you need to link them up. And we can go into next time how you can combine these techniques, and then you can actually see that the DNA is only an antenna or a memory chip, and the DNA is neither fixed nor physical. It is an electromagnetic. It is a physical storage of the past, but once you realize how the past didn't compute, you can actually see that methylated parts of the DNA, which are parts of the DNA which are in shock and frozen over, and as a result no longer can compute, literally, that you can defreeze them. And that is done, for example, by the miasma remedies of homeopathy. But essentially what you're doing is you're de-blocking old memories by new realization. And of course, and that's what you do in the meditation techniques, especially the universal meditations, you suddenly realize that a lot of the information that you are holding as if it was essential for your life or for your survival is based on something much more fundamental, much more simple, and then you can let go of a whole lot of stuff. Right. And that is basically the biblical kind of stuff of put down your luggage because it's just not worth it. There's a lot of old ballast that people keep on pulling along, but what they only need from that is the learning. I can bring up some examples next time of cases where once you go into the problem and when you go through the feeling of it and then you come to the realization and on the back side of it you suddenly have the information of the decision that you did not take.
Yeah.
And then suddenly an enormous field of ballast falls away and a part that was blocked suddenly becomes reactivated. And the technique actually is very simple once you understand those four gears.
Beautiful.
But that's the story in itself, so we basically better pick that up next time. But okay. Yeah, Melissa, this is really fantastic to pull that up, because everything that we talked about today was rather more theoretical or about the understanding of what happens on the background. And it certainly will be very practical to turn that into techniques of how to work with it.
Yes.
And put that on the foreground next time.
Okay, beautiful. And I think I'll save my other idea for you next time, and I'll spring it on you.
Excellent. I should notice. I'm. You can just bring up anything.
Yeah.
Either I will see how it connects to what I've discovered already, or I will tell you if I haven't found a place for it yet.
Okay, I'll make my own notes then, and I'll bring them into the conversations.
Yeah, just feel free and. I just have a holographic processing mind, so I can just catch on with it from the different perspectives.
Perfect. Wonderful. Okay. Let me into the recording, and then I'll say goodbye to you.
Okay. Just before we do that, just let me tell you that I really enjoyed the conversation that we had. For people who listen into it, it might be something to listen to a couple of times because so many things came about and so many interconnectednesses. And for me, it's really helpful because your questions and your lines of thought brought out a lot of that. For me, it's very enjoyable and very practical as well. So thank you for that.
Yo, you're very welcome. And I feel the exact way, the exact same way. This material is the way you speak is, and the information that you're bringing down is, it's right there at the boundary of my understanding and the unknown. And so it's good. I can I can navigate it enough. Then it's also a lot to chew on, which I can also integrate over time.
Thank you.
Okay.
So till next time, we'll hang up and then briefly come back.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Otto.